Hi, folks. Just a note to say, this is a very long episode, and just when you think it's over, it ain't over, because I decided to put the 5-minute epilogue on the end of the episode so you get to hear the rest of the story as Book 1 of Tales of Eldalorn comes to its dramatic conclusion. Sounds of a struggle came from inside the outpost as the wagon pulled up at the lower entryway. Fiona jumped down, her blunted dagger ready in case they would meet with a possessed Ijlum. Mortal history does the fallen one no justice for the tyrant he truly is, Fiona scowled. Even though she was orphaned by the actions of this mad god, the horror of it never struck her until she found herself in his clutches. He toys with our lives as if we are all his playthings, Fiona thought, and now EJ's plan made even less sense to her as the dangerous reality of Sir Manos and what was happening inside the outpost was more than anything she could ever have imagined. And now we have no recourse but to stand here waiting for God knows what, Fiona mumbled. What? Dakin asked, glancing at her curiously. Nothing, I'm just fretting inside as usual. Fiona gripped tighter on her blade, keeping her eyes focused on the doorway in front of her. It has gone quiet, Dakin said as he moved for the door, with Fiona and the rest of the men following close behind. Fiona held a hope that Ijlum and Rovash would triumphantly meet them at the door. Confronting a crazed Ijlum and finding Ro dead was another possibility, neither of which is what they found. The brothers were fallen silent in a heap on the wet floor. Fiona sheathed her weapon, almost relieved to find them passed out. It did not register with her what any of this meant. They were following EJ's plan, and that was enough to know for now. 4 men came in with stretchers and quickly carried the 2 and laid them side by side in the back of the waiting wagon. Fiona's heart was thrumming wildly in her ears as she climbed in next to Ijlum and clung to him. She could not hear his heart. Hurry, Fiona called out to Dakin, her face turning dark with anguish. He is fading, she keened in deepening grief. Fiona suddenly realized the consequences for being left behind as blinding pain ripped through her. There is no time, were Fiona's last words, as she twined her fingers together with his and strained to kiss EJ's lips one last time. Dakin cracked the whip to spur the mad galloping team, driving them hard through the Atumwood Forest. The ranger was expected, so the road opened up to him. He quickly arrived at the bridge that ushered him forward toward the green gates of King Elendil's palace. Dakin ran around the back of the wagon and found Fiona had fallen unconscious across Ijlum. Gathering up the 2, he carried them together in through the gate. He followed the path to the throne room, where he found a cushioned bed awaiting them. I will keep these 2 alive as best I can, King Elendil spoke in a commanding voice, as he concentrated on the appointed task. Dakin quickly turned to retrieve Rovash, but when he got there he found him missing. He ran frantically, searching the edges of the gated yard, but there was nowhere Rovash could have gone. He hurried back into the palace to demand answers. He arrived just in time to see Ijlum fade and disappear. His heart crushed in despair as he ran to Fiona's side. The worst has happened then? They have both entered into Ilmatar's judgment? Dakin asked. I am afraid you are correct, Elendil said, nodding his head as he concentrated. His face betrayed the strain he felt as he focused his magics. He poured his own life's essence into Fiona to keep her body alive and protect her from decay. Now it is up to them to return, if that would even be allowed, Elendil said, quietly resigned to his fate. He was locked into keeping both Fiona and himself alive. If the brothers did not succeed, there would be no coming back from this. Fiona lay pale and still. Dakin touched her hand and found it was stiff and cold. A blue light glowed where her heart should have been as her spirit slipped farther away from the mortal coil. Dakin knelt down next to Fiona. All that was left to him was the solace of prayer. If only, the realm is full of uncertainty. What do you do when even our elders can't keep us on track? You must go back to your beginnings, to see where you have come from, to truly know yourself. It seems our friends are being drawn back into the gods to deliver the long-awaited prisoner. I am your narrator, author Carly Bond, and you are listening to Chapter 51, Lightbringer. Glyneth voices surrounded Rovash's senses. The tones swelled at each of the landings as he ascended the long path to find Ilmatar's High King. Soft phrases flowed in waves of harmony, and the song was somehow comforting. But with each step, his brother's body grew heavy. It struggled to loose itself from his grip. I will not fail you. Ro kissed EJ's forehead as he hugged his little brother tightly to himself. The sound of his own words buzzed eerily around in his head, mocking his resolve. On the path below, Rovash glimpsed a churning darkness. He faltered as the weight of his burden taxed even his great strength. He kept his eyes looking forward, daring not to look down. If only someone would send help, Rovash stubbornly gritted his teeth. He feared the boiling darkness that was dogging them, but more than that, he feared losing his grip on Ejlum. As the stone path grew steep and narrow, he toppled forward onto a knee more than once and then dragged himself up again. Never lose hope, EJ's words whispered in the back of his mind. Suddenly, engulfed in a deafening silence, Rovash thought he would lose his senses and fall down the whole length of the mountain he'd just climbed. On hands and knees, he carried the body of his brother toward the summit until he could go no further. Rovash collapsed. He turned his face to look where he had been, and everything was swallowed up. The dark abyss hung like an angry storm, only a short distance away, but it could not breach this place. Ringing pounded in Rovash's ears. Ejlum, we made it, Rovash groaned. He lay clutching his brother tightly, wondering what was going to happen next. As in a dream, a great city of lights materialized into view. Rovash could see a procession of glowing edelith marching towards them as a path grew out of nowhere. The road was flat and wide enough to bring all the help he needed. A comforting robe was given Rovash that took away the pain and gave him strength back. The beings gently took Ejlum and covered his body in wrappings. Rovash marveled at finding himself among the throngs of spirits that inhabited this place. He heard them say they were going to bring Ejlum to the great hall of High King Uxuko. So the High King has a name, Rovash mumbled, having never heard it before. Ichlam's body was lifted high and kept at the front of the line as the bearers carried him over themselves. Rovash gently pushed through the crowd, trying to keep up as they made their way to an open auditorium. A sea of faces looked on as the court was set for the trial of the Fallen One. Rovash could see the wrapped body of his brother lying silent in front of the stage on a low pedestal. Ichlam seemed more dead than alive, and had not been healed as he had. Alarmed and confused, Rovash struggled to push through the host of spirits, but they were standing so tightly together, he could not get to his brother. The High King of Ilmatar appeared on the stage like a bolt of lightning. Blinded by the sudden brilliance, Rovash shielded his eyes from the burning light.
Lord Sermanos,
King Uksuko called forth the prisoner by name.
Your evasion of this council throughout the ages has finally come to an end. It is the Light of Justice to whom you will answer now.
All went silent as the High King's voice rolled like thunder over the crowd.
Reveal yourself.
The king's eyes flashed with lightning as his demand flowed out over the gathering. The assembly let out a gasp as the wrappings fell away. Through the corner of his eye, Rovash could see his brother was gone. The smug figure of Lord Sermanos was all that remained. He stood glaring defiantly, powerless to escape the invisible wall of light that circled around him. Unable to stop himself, Rovash keened with the grief of loss. He angrily turned away.
Why do you cry out?
The king's voice whispered intimately close in Rovash's ears. He wanted to turn around and rail at the king and his assembly, but he dared not, fearing the blinding light that was the king would burn his eyes.
Do not be afraid. Your eyes may look upon me now, the king assured him.
Rovash unshielded his eyes and saw the terrible burning glare was gone. When he turned back around, he saw the High King had taken on the familiar shape of a village Eldar.
Where has he gone? Where is my brother?
Rovash frantically questioned the king.
I have lived through desolation for more than 500 years, always searching. We came here for your help, and you have taken him.
Rovash angrily howled.
The Lord of Light surrounds and protects us all, young one, the king answered, holding up his hands for effect.
He has been made free of his burden. He need only find his way back to you, King Uksuko gently reassured him. Rovash looked around at all the kind faces and could not imagine they would truly mean any harm.
Can you tell us all that you know of Lord Sermanos?
Uksuko softly asked. Rovash shook with anger and fear as his eyes fell to the prisoner, glaring at him from the place of captivity. But Lord Sermanos could not transform into his dark monster. He no longer had his power to persuade or otherwise. So Rovash bravely nodded and began to speak. The story of his life poured out of his mouth and filled the assembly with strains of joy at meeting Fiona and then finding Ichlam. Everything was so wondrous with them in his life. And then his thoughts turned to Nalin.
She is the light of my heart, my true beloved. Too soon our lives were broken, Rovash cried.
Nalin should never have been made to suffer so, he raged at the glaring prisoner. With every next word uttered, Rovash changed in appearance. Wounds and scars bubbled up across half a millennium of lifetime, mutilating his face and arms and torso. Rovash's eyes sunk in and scabbed over, revealing more suffering and hardship.
The war of the sorcerer took my eye,
and took my life away from all that I loved," Rovash said. The assembly murmured at the sight of him, but that was not the end of it. Rovash did not know how to live with the atrocities he was made part of under the Dragon Lord's possession. He fell in a heap, begging King Uxuko for the true death. Witness the shattering of one at the hands of Lord Sermanos in all his incarnations. A familiar silvery voice pierced through the auditorium. This life seems beyond all hope, but I know my brother is made stronger than metal by our mother's grace. Ichlum's light appeared among them, and the assembly audibly gasped, bowing low in his presence. Murmurings of "He is here" rose up to fill the room. Ichlum graciously returned gestures of acknowledgement as he strode forward to stand beside his brother. "What say you then?" The High King's voice was soft. "I am the light that reveals all that lies hidden," EJ introduced himself. "My brother bears witness to truth that I have found. There is nothing this evil would not do to force his will upon the mortal realm and beyond. His only purpose is to destroy all that is held dear to those who would walk with the light." EJ looked down at his brother. "Your life seems broken, Ninhan, but there is another that has been added to this song." Rovash's puzzled face turned up to Ijlum. "You have a son. His name is Elgillion." A gasp rose up around them as the song of the little one resounded across Ilmatar. Ijlum reached out with both hands to help Rovash stand to his feet. "I still cannot smile, even with the glimmer of joy in my heart," Rovash sadly said, his eyes questioning his brother. "Never lose hope," EJ reminded him. The brothers turned their attention back to the High King as he pronounced final judgment. "So, the witness has spoken," King Uxuko soberly said, acknowledging Ijlum and Rovash. "You are the light of truth, speaking for all those throughout the ages who have cried out for justice. It has been far too long for our ears to finally hear it." A hint of sadness darkened the king's face. A whole host of Ilmatar's lords added their voices, chanting in deep rumbling tones as their High King pronounced sentencing. "Your atrocities have named you." The king turned towards Sermanos. Crackling blue lightning filled the edges of the room. "There is no escape for you. Your deeds bind you into the veil beyond the immortal gate, where you will await your final days. All that is known shall be torn open, ripping you asunder and sending you back to the chaos." Thunder boomed as the king made his proclamation. The blue light streamed forward and surrounded the figure on the pedestal. Lord Sermanos cried out in anger and pain as it subdued him. The waves of Ilmatar rose into jubilant exultation, spiraling beyond the edges of the place. Two lords moved forward, flanking the prisoner as the whole scene evaporated into thin air. All that was left was the High King, surrounded by stark emptiness. "I cannot express my gratitude enough." Uxuko floated forward and bowed low in front of the brothers. "But we shall try." Rovash gave the king a shocked look as his limbs began to flake and float away in all directions, like leaves on a soft breeze. Ijlum looked at one hand curiously and smiled as they both disintegrated into nothingness. Rovash and Ijlum found themselves in front of their home in Eldalorn, the familiar figure of Thendiel appeared before her two elflings. Unrequited memories were made whole in the blink of an eye as they stood transfixed in the presence of their lost mother. It was given to them as in a dream. Feelings of their shared long memory would forever linger, even after the details fade. What bounty might we bestow upon our beloved sons? Thendiel's voice spoke through unmoving lips, waking them from their reverie. We wish to be given our own time as family in the mortal realm, Aeglem said. You would so easily go to live among the mortals? The face asked Aeglem as the air pressed in close around them and the conversation suddenly became intimately private. Yes, it is my heart's desire to return home, EJ said, as he thought of Fiona and their daughter whose spirit has yet to be born. All that you have learned here, and all of yourself, you will be made to forget, she cautioned the Lord of Light. The promise has been fulfilled and I am willing, EJ assured the visage of his mother. You are so full of fire and life, my son. Her face turned and the distance between them went back to normal as she smiled softly, addressing both brothers. The Edelith have gone from that place now. You would be alone, as would be your young ones. What will they do when you pass on into the future, leaving them behind? She solemnly said, making sure they knew exactly what they were asking for. We will always have each other, Rovas said, unwavering from the request. She turned a warm gaze upon her eldest son. Thank you for giving us the life we had lost as youths, mother. But we have families of our own now, Rovas explained. EJ glanced at his brother and, having just remembered something very important, quickly spoke again. Nalan must be restored and her clan given rest, and their Eldar's curse removed from our homeland. It is only justice I require for such cruelty, Aeglem blurted out. Rovash's breath hitched in his throat at hearing EJ's words. What has happened? Where is my Nalan? Fear ignited in his gut as he turned to EJ with a puzzled look on his face. Thendiel sadly regarded her eldest son. She has rested here in the true death for some time now. Such may be your desire, but she may not want to return. The air pulsed as the visage of their mother spoke its warning. Then they will have to decide that together, Aeglem stubbornly added. He looked over at his brother's face that was rising in anguish. EJ put his hands around Ro's arm to steady him. May all your wishes come true. Their mother's countenance faded away at the sound of a door clicked open. Aeglem and Rovas turned to see Nalan coming out of the home behind them. She stood lost for a moment, not recognizing anything. Rovas's heart sank at the sight of her. So much had gone wrong. He felt he had entirely failed when she needed him the most. Ro lost his strength, falling to his knees, sobbing into his hands. He knew now she was lost to him forever. As Nalan's mind cleared, she rubbed the veil of sleep from her eyes. She saw her Rovash and immediately ran to him. She was greeted by his outstretched arms. The air surrounding them glowed in their embrace. We have a son, Rovas said, tears of joy streaming down his face. Can you ever forgive me? The pair said in unison. Startled by their own words, their eyes sorrowfully searched each other's faces for answers their hearts already knew. Without another sound, Nalan clung to Ro's neck with her cheek pressed into his warm shoulder. Suddenly she was the smiling girl from the beach long past, and he was the tall, captivated, shy boy. He held her in his arms, and when their lips finally met, it was blinding. The waves of Ilmatar rose up and broke over in a gentle churning that swallowed them all. A song of triumph from the mouths of the lords built to a new and glorious pitch. Beloved of Ilmatar, you are granted the new beginning you desire. By the waters of the exalted Queen Mother, you will be given new bodies to continue your lives in the mortal realm. You will live unnoticed throughout time until you return to us, as do all elven kind, in the fullness of your days. The ethereal voice resounded into the distance. No one can know the end of this great aria that you yourselves have written. Her words faded into the hiss of the ocean wave as they were sent home to live their lives together. A dark figure woke on the warm sand, surrounded by the sound of clamoring gulls that were squawking over shiny things and bits of food found along the beach. The half-Edel lay on his back, trying to gain his bearings. One of the gulls stood a bit too close, silently staring. He waved a hand, sending it flapping away to find easier prey. He rolled over, jamming his ribs into a conch shell that had also washed up onto the shore. He picked it up in his hand, looking curiously at it. Off in the distance, his attention focused on someone with red hair moving swiftly over the sand. He was amused at how he could hear everything so clearly, as he studied the thing in his hand again, and then, not really knowing what it was, tossed it aside. For some reason, he wasn't afraid, and it made him smile. Rovash pulled his knees to his chest and sat up. His long sable brown hair flow down over his back, drying in the light breeze. He brushed at some itchy bits of sand that caught on his shoulder. It felt gritty and good in the palm of his hand as it scratched his skin. He was at the edge of the water, looking at an island beyond the bay. The lapping waves made a soothing sound, and he took a deep breath and smiled again. There was another lying next to him. He gently picked at some sand that dried on her arm. Rovash moved over to the sleeping girl to look at her more closely. As he leaned down, she opened her huge sea-green eyes and gazed up at him. Nalan explored his smooth, handsome face with her fingertips as he picked her up and cradled her in his arms. Rovash gently kissed her on the tip of her nose, and she giggled. They knew that somehow they belonged together. Fiona woke with a sudden gasp as her heart came back to life. Rising to her feet, she thanked Elendil and Dakin before turning toward the door. Her footsteps quickened with every breath until she found herself running. It was morning, and the sun shone hot, warming the beach. This is where Fiona found him. He was lying on the sand, surrounded by tall tufts of grass that were waving in the mild breeze. Aegilm did not respond to her voice, so Fiona slowed down the last few steps. She heard him babbling and froze. Oh, gods, no! Fiona's mind reeled. He has lost all his memories. He has forgotten me. Anxiety pounded in Fiona's chest as she moved in closer, quietly repeating his name. Aegilm, please, please say you remember. EJ, please do not forget. At the sound of her voice, Aegilm turned his head. His blue and golden brown eyes blinked at her curiously. His surprised expression slowly melted away as he finally saw her. A tangle of wild red hair and green eyes on a pretty girl face. And he smiled his big, sparkling, idiot smile. Fiona, he said her name, as she had taught him so long ago. Fiona fell down next to him, tears washing over his cheeks as their lips met. Anthon Urn and Andin, Fiona. EJ softly spoke as his eyes searched her face that was so near. Yes, I am your Fiona, she sniffled as her nose gently touched his. They smiled together and she kissed him again. The end. Or could this be just the beginning? Thank you for listening to Tales of Eldalorn, Book 1. It has been my pleasure to bring this story to you over 3 seasons. Next time you hear my voice, we will be starting our journey through Tales of Eldalorn, Book 2. I am Carly Bond, your author-narrator, and you just have a great day. See you next time. Bye-bye.